morning. We just sung, and that fits quite well with our few thoughts from the book of 1 Peter this morning hour. That third stanza, 189, Calvary Covers It All, kind of a favorite song of mine. But that third stanza, you know, it says, how matchless the grace when I look on his face. Now, when do we do that? When do we look on, when have you ever looked on his face? Of this Jesus, my crucified Lord, have redemption complete, found at his feet. Yeah, it's great. And it's a good thing to be thinking on as you find your way to the book of 1 Peter in our Bible. In chapter 1, and I know we were there last week, and we might come back here again, because we're thinking about how Peter, having been with the Lord Jesus Christ, and how having been with the Lord, many of those things which he said, and many of those things which are reaccounted throughout the Gospels that Peter spoke on or Peter preached or Peter was involved in, and he picks up on them over in these books of 1 and 2 Peter. And so we're just kind of thinking together on that this at this time in our times together. So just looking at that one verse this morning, verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not, what's the word? Whom having not seen, you know, having not, it sometimes some translations use the word known, but whom having not seen, you do what? You love him, yeah. Though now, which really is the we think about the verse, it's the primary thought of the verse, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, just inexpressible and full of glory. Peter was indeed a masterful writer. Sometimes, as we've spoken the last few weeks, Peter's kind of sometimes put down as this not too much of a know-it-all type of a fisherman, but Peter was a very, I believe, brilliant man. God greatly used him with regard to so much throughout the Scriptures, especially in the founding of the church and the setting forth of the church and the ministries that we have today. So God the Holy Spirit moved Peter, who wrote these wonderful words, and we get to express them together a little bit this morning hour as we think about Peter, who sat with Christ or laid with Christ at the Lord's table and received the same instruction we receive, and partook of that table, and we will do that together this day. So it's always a delightful time to be together and to think about those last words of Christ. Peter, they're listening, and I think Peter picks up on it, a lot of them, and writes with regard to them throughout the books of 1 and 2 Peter. But his instruction, that is the Lord's instruction, to all the disciples passed on to us here this morning hour down through those glorious chapters of John in chapters 14, 15, 16, 17, and great chapters to read in and think about. This is what Jesus said to his disciples as he trained them for the last time, gave them their last schooling time, and all the instruction that he left with them. Well, Peter is writing a little summary of all that he said in the verses prior to verse 8. So verses 1 through 7,
He gives some information with regard to standing up for Christ and the difficulties of it, but the joy of it at the same time. And then speaking of Christ, we come to verse 8 when he says, "Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith." And once he's not speaking of the conclusion, he's saying end with regard to the idea, here's how it all started, the salvation of your souls. And then verse 10 down through verse 25, he talks all about that salvation. How it was looked into by the prophets of the Old Testament, and they couldn't quite get a handle on it and quite understand all that was there. It was a great mystery to them, and so on down through the rest of the chapter. So you have that extended message of salvation brought out here. So Peter implies in verse 8 that he had been with, and we know he was, and had seen the Lord face to face, which is what many of our songs are about, seeing the Lord, knowing the Lord, and one day in glory seeing him face to face. And Peter had been face to face with him, and probably a little bit more than many of the other disciples. He had spent time with the Lord and had some face-to-face conversations with regard to him. And so we gather today, and our minds' thoughts are upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Our minds might be full of many activities and situations, might be matters with regard to our families, might be matters with regard to the nation. That would fill up anybody's mind. There may be things of sickness, might be all different sorts of things, work and so on our minds. But we come together for a while, and the Lord says, now when you come together, here you're to, you know, kind of put those aside and remember. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, well, how can I remember him whom I've never seen? We place a lot of emphasis upon when we talk about folks, we say, do you remember so-and-so? And you start to think, well, yeah, I kind of remember that person, what they looked like, and the things of actions with regard to their lives. Well, as we gather at the Lord's table, and we do it to be reminded of who Christ is, but as we do, we also are reminded that we have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. However, as the verse says, verse 8, we do believe in Jesus, whom we have not seen as Peter had seen him. Because of time and distance, we have not seen the Lord. Yet what? We believe in him. We have a sure confidence in him. We trust what the scriptures said about him. And we believe in him, which belief makes you and I who believe in him as those walking commentaries or living billboards with regard to the beautiful things he has said and the beautiful things that he has done and the beautiful person who he is. If you wish, hold your place in Peter and find back into the Gospel of John in chapter 20. I'm going to read in chapter 20 at verse 27. John 20 in verse 27 and following. We're reminded here, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ appeared in the presence of his disciples. And so in John 20 in verse 27, here Christ, the resurrected body, gives us this a wonderful information. So verse 27, Jesus is talking to Thomas. All the other disciples are listening. And he said to Thomas, Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. I am the Lord Jesus Christ. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him in verse 29, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That comes down through the centuries to us and points to us. Blessed are you. Blessed are you who have not seen and have believed. And those other two great verses, of course, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. We pause and say, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the one you have not seen? We have not seen him in the flesh. That you may believe all these things of the Gospels written that you might believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that believing, that by believing that, and who Christ is, you may have this life, life eternal, in his name. And so blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So that says you're a blessed person today. Blessed are those who have not seen Christ in the flesh face to face, but have believed. And that reminds us also, I think, while we're in the Gospel of John, of John chapter 17 in the words of Christ, if you'd just glance there with me, John 17 and verse 20. Remember these words from Christ when he was praying for us, praying for his disciples, praying for the ministry of his word going out across the world. He prays in this way in John chapter 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, that is his disciples and those with him there and then, but also for those who will believe in me through his word. He was praying there at his table, the Lord's table, for you and I down here centuries later who have believed in him. And what do we believe on him through? Through the things of his word, of what he has said, what he has spoken, by way of and through the scriptures. That reminds us, you know, that we live by faith and not by sight. Remember that in 2 Corinthians 5:7? Here's the way we believe. Faith in the word of God. Faith in what the Lord has said. Faith in we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have not seen. So Peter takes and he stresses that word. And again, I'm back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Where he says, whom having not seen you love, though now, right this moment you don't see him, yet believing in him. We cannot say we believe in Jesus, whom we've never seen, and then ignore the scriptures that speak of him. Nor can we take the words of Jesus and ignore the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot accept his written word and ignore him, because genuine Christianity is a personal relationship of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in our place, which we remember at this table today, a table which reminds us by way of the bread that Christ is the living bread come down from heaven. And so by partaking of the bread, we're being reminded of Christ who has come. And then we're reminded of that he who came, the perfect Savior, by partaking of the fruit of the vine, we're reminded
He gave his life by the shedding of his blood for us. He was a real person, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who came. So we think on this. It is more important, or let me make it a question. Is it more important to have seen Jesus and heard him and walked with him for a few years, or is it more important to believe on him and hear his words for a lifetime? Which is more important? Which maybe is more valuable? Sometimes you might say, I just wish I'd been there and seen the Lord. I'd just like to have walked and side by side and been with him. But we remember that those days were brief. They were soon over. And we need a reminder that the Lord Jesus can be nearer and dearer to us today than he was for those who walked with him when he was on earth. Because now he tells us and he teaches us in those teachings while he sat at the table with his disciples. Again, John chapters 14, 15, 16, 17. He said, I'll be with you and I'll be in you and I'll never leave you or forsake you. We have those wonderful blessings and truth brought out. I'm going to have you go back one more time into the Gospels, and this time into Luke, if you would, please. Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 at verse 27. See if you recall these words. Jesus teaching and preaching. And as he finishes up a section of his preaching, verse 27, Luke 11, 27, a woman calls out from the crowd that was around. And it says, as it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice, or she was loud enough she could be heard above the crowd, then said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. Now she's putting great importance upon the flesh body, and it was necessary that Christ come in a flesh body to be identified with us. But here's his answer. What's his response to that? He said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So are you one who has heard the word of God and you're keeping it? You're a blessed person, living by the truths of the word of God and having them to be such a precious message unto us day by day. As important as his flesh was, he says, my word. That's where the blessing is, in keeping it. Remember when Christ said, is it expedient? John 16, verse 7, he says, it's important, it's a must, it's expedient. It's to your advantage that I go away, so that he might send the helper, and that we also, here centuries later, would have the delight of believing on him as the Lord and Savior he is. So Jesus dwelling in us by his Spirit and dwelling with us is indeed much more precious than the short opportunity that Peter had with him and others. We believe in Jesus as Peter did, and we converse with Jesus as Peter did, and he will never go away and leave us. So we'll bring it down to a conclusion and get our men ready to help serve the Lord's table. 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom
having not seen you love. I pause there. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Whom having not seen you love. Hard expression for us because we usually think I love who I've seen, who is with me. Though now you do not see him, yet believing. Yet believing. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus? Follower of his, the truth of his word. There's a whole lot more in that little verse, and maybe, Lord willing, we'll get back to it here. I ask the question again, is Jesus present as we remember him together today? And the answer is yes, he is with us. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll live in you. Jesus is not in the supper food we're going to partake, nor will it, the supper food, become Jesus and become part of us. However, he is with us. He is in us. And that's a truth that causes us, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world that we live in, to rejoice in Christ with joy unspeakable. We might not be able to find words sufficient to express our love for Jesus. We might not be able to, we like to try to express our love for him in songs and in our fellowship together, and that's good, and we should do that. But because of a great need that Jesus knew in our hearts and lives to be able to express our love for him and live for him and to follow his word, he's left this beautiful remembrance table with us, an expression of his love, that where we can gather and silently rejoice in Christ who died in our place individually. The sinless man on the cross, he came in the flesh, and we can know him. And by his grace, we will see him face to face one day. So his earthly life, eternal words, his death for us, and his death in our place, and his blood shed for us, and his resurrection for us, indeed brings joy inexpressible that we get to express together as we partake. So we express our love for Jesus and our belief in him by obediently partaking of the elements of the Lord's table today and express once again, Lord, I can't see you, but I believe in you. We'll have our men come and we'll pray together.